In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we have reached my favorite season of the year, Lent, right? I mean, you're with me. I feel it. And I know I've said that many times, and people look at me like there is something seriously wrong with me. Which is okay, I don't necessarily mind that, because there probably is something seriously wrong with me. The beauty of Lent is it may help me discover what. Before I start, I want to walk through parts of this letter that Paul has written to the church in Corinth. But I want to back up to verse 20. We start a little further beyond that. It says, "So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That is Lent in a nutshell for me. It speaks of a journey that is unsure, that requires a great deal of trust, but it has a really wonderful outcome and goal. And I've made a few of these journeys in my life in other ways. And as I was reflecting on this, I was remembering a conversation with a dear friend of mine who was struggling years ago, before I knew him, with alcohol. And he had been through a great deal, and like many people who struggle, he had put many people through a great deal. He had reached a point where he had had an automobile accident that required him to be picked up by a helicopter and flown to a trauma center. That did not stop him from wanting to drink. It wasn't until his wife told him, "If you don't stop, the children and I will be leaving." And he decided at that point, "I need help." He went to a place to receive help, and he sat down with his counselor, and the first thing the counselor asked him was, "What are you willing to do to be sober?" And he said, "I will do anything." He said, "Anything?" He goes, "Yes." He goes, "Well, I want you to write that on that whiteboard over there." So he got up and he walked over to the whiteboard with the marker and he said, "I will do anything." And he goes, "Well, that's good. This helps in the process." He goes, "So you're here for 28 days. If you have to stay for 2 months, will you stay?" He said, "Yes, I will." "If at the end of 2 months you need to stay for another 4 months and you'll be here 6 months, are you willing to do that?" And he said, "Yes, I'm willing to do that." He said, "If that doesn't work at the end of 6 months and you need another 6 months and you will be here for 1 year, are you willing to do that?" And he said, "I'm not sure." And he said, "Oh, so go erase that. See, because you're not willing to do anything, are you?" And you might think, what's this have to do with Lent? Well, brothers and sisters, there's a journey that we go on. The end we will never fully see in this life. But I bet each of us has taken a part of the journey already in that process of being reconciled to God. That's our call, to be reconciled to God. Ever since the garden, that's what he's been trying to do, is be reconciled with us. Lent focuses on that. But I want you to listen as Paul describes what it was like for him and those who worked with him in the first century of the church. In verse 3 of chapter 6, he says this, "We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way." Sounds like they'd do anything, doesn't it? "Through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger." This suddenly doesn't sound like a very interesting journey to take, does it? This is how he was walking out his faith in the first century. We are called to walk out our faith in this century. He goes on, he says in verse 6, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, and genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. This is how they were able to walk through those things, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. And we're thinking, this sounds like quite a battle, doesn't it? He's being beaten. They're in the midst of riots. There are sleepless nights, hunger. But as they stick to the purity of knowledge, the patience, the kindness, the holiness of spirit, genuine love and truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, they reach this other point where he says, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and in good repute, we are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor and yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Well, put that against all the other things they had to walk through, that seems like that's not a bad thing to have on your side. To have that strength, that power, that assuredness in the love of Christ that you can move in this way. And remember, he says there'll be ambassadors. This is what they do. This is what their walk looks like. And I think to ourselves today, I have not created any riots that I'm aware of. I have not yet been beaten for my faith, although some days I do wonder. I haven't been hungry, clearly, in a long time. Not too many calamities. Certainly haven't been imprisoned for it yet. There is some labor and certainly some sleepless nights. This journey of Lent reminds us, just as my friend's journey to sobriety means we are going to have to step into some unknown places. We know what the ultimate goal is, amen? To be reconciled to God. To be ambassadors of Christ reconciled to God. I want to be that. I don't really fully understand the fullness of this journey yet. But I've taken enough steps in it to know that it isn't always pleasant. And unlike our brothers and sisters in the first century, most of our struggles are just within ourselves, aren't they? It's just when we just can't reconcile within ourselves. There's things that we know we shouldn't do that we do. There are things we don't want to do that we do. And there are things that we know we shouldn't do but don't want to stop. Maybe you have a few of those. I've had way too many of those. I'm narrowing the list. So the wonderful thing about Lent is we have this opportunity to engage in this process of becoming ambassadors. The thing that keeps us most from being the fullness of being an ambassador of Christ, someone who embodies the fullness of God, so that we can walk through this world being Christ-like, so that others may see how he has moved and transformed our lives. The thing that keeps us from him is the same thing that moved us away from him in the beginning. And brothers and sisters, at the risk of sounding like a Baptist, it's sin. It just is. And we can say we don't talk like that in the Episcopal Church, but we have this entire season of the year dedicated to a process of looking at our own sin and striving to give it up. So, of course, we did exactly what we should do when we're faced with such a challenge. We brought it to, hey, what are you giving up for Lent? Chocolate? Facebook? Just so you know, I'm giving up smoking. Which I do every year, my wife will attest to that. I have not smoked since I was 21 years old. Why would I do that? Well, it works. I haven't smoked in over 30 years. So it's a good system. But isn't that just like us? We're faced with a great challenge, an internal struggle that's put before us by God and our wonderful liturgical church, and we say, I'm going to give up soda. Brothers and sisters, we're supposed to be giving up is sin. We're supposed to be taking some serious time to look at our lives, the ways in which we move, the ways that are godly, and the ways that are not of God, and say, Lord, help me, my wretched self, to be more like you and less sinful. See, that's what I want. It's my deepest desire to be a true ambassador for Christ, one reconciled to God. I mean, how much better could that get? So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Jesus Christ, we can become the righteousness of God. See, he's already done all the things he needs to do for that to happen. We're going to walk through all of it in Holy Week and get to Easter, the symbol of our salvation. It's all going to happen, and we get to go through it and be reminded of it every single year. And every single year I strive to find, you know, okay, I don't really have to try that hard. I was going to say I strive to find something else that God can correct in me, but actually it's far too easy for him to point out what needs to be corrected. What I actually strive to do is to let him do it, to go beyond giving up smoking or chocolate or Facebook. I could give up Facebook too. I haven't done that in about 4 years. I mean, let's give up something that's not going to mess up my life. But what I really want is to be pure and holy as he intended for me to be, and he's already done everything. God has already created the pathway through Jesus Christ. Our only real struggle is, will we do it? I mean, I'd love to be an ambassador for Christ. It just sounds so good to me, which is why I had to back up the reading a little bit, to fully embody what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, go and tell the world, to be designated as the person who gets to go tell the world about Jesus Christ, and the freedom that comes when you give yourself over to him so that he can purify you with his body and blood, which he's already set in motion. And I want to back up to chapter 6, verse 1. Paul is going to quote Isaiah. He goes, as we work together with him, sounds like Lent, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. So in another way that you may have heard, if you did some theological study, they'd say, don't fall for cheap grace. So cheap grace sounds like this. I grew up in a tradition that said you can do anything you want on Saturday night as long as you go to confession before Sunday. That's what we call cheap grace. That's what that would be, accepting the grace of God in vain. If you are accepting it with every intention of doing exactly what you just did to receive it, it's in vain. In our prayer book, there is a reconciliation of a penitent. Shockingly, the majority of the people I have walked that through with in my very long career of 8.5 years, yes, people still do that, 95% of them were not Episcopalian. Because we can do that with God directly, and I'm not saying you should do it otherwise. But there's nothing like telling somebody what you did wrong for accountability. But in there, and my point is, after that's all done, the question to the person is, do you intend to amend your life? Meaning, is it your intention to leave here and not do that again? I did this with a man one time, not an Episcopalian. He had grown up Roman. And I got to that point, and he looks at me and goes, well, what do you mean amend my life? I said, are you going to go out and do all the things you just told me were sinful? And he goes, well, probably. And I said, well, okay. He goes, okay. I said, okay. That's it? That's it. Aren't you supposed to say something else? I can't. You're asking me to offer God's grace in vain. I can't do it. There's no point to it. So sometimes we work those deals, don't we? And I'd say, brothers and sisters, let's not spend our Lent doing that. Let's fall into the grace of God fully. Not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, through the prophet Isaiah, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. Paul then states, see, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. Today is that day. Jesus has taken your sin. Take this season to release it to him. Amen.